from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on News Talk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, the relationship between Greens and Labour. Turbulent, entertaining, fun to watch. The valedictories from the MPs who are leaving, were they fun to watch? We've got a very expensive painting, was it worth it? And what to do about remembering your passwords and changing them for that matter. But these comments from James Shaw about materia bashing being sexist and whatever the other thing was. Here's Mike on that.
Let's deal with James Shaw, who's on the news this morning trying to spin the line that Touré's problems are about gender and race. All of these views are moulded by prejudice. They're not, James. Just let me toss a couple of words your way of what they are moulded by. Dishonesty, morals, legality, contrition, self-responsibility, maturity, honesty, decency, integrity. That's what forms the opinion, James. Try a few of those words out for size, and you will find none of them have got to do with race or indeed gender, and that is just an excuse.
Yeah, so not sure there whether Mike's vocabulary is just really big or he went straight to thesaurus.com or what, but anyway, he certainly gave James Shaw a serve there. And I think he's about to do the same for Labour, for their relationship with the Greens.
Answer me this. Why haven't Labour cut the Greens off and run for the hills, eh? Why have they insisted in keeping that mad memorandum of understanding? Why did Mr. Dern say Materia Touré's foray into the world of criminality, fraud and confession and justification did not change the relationship? I don't get it. Here's your reality, and Labour spelled it out yesterday, ironically. The Greens are still the first cab off the rank post the election, and that's fine. What else would you expect? Their policies align. In fact, they probably align too much. Hence the whole issue of the Greens sucking the life out of the Labour vote and them having to get rid of Andrew Little. But given all that's unfolded these past 2 weeks, surely they can see they run an enormous risk of being tainted by association by not ditching the deal, but saying nothing changes. Nothing changes. Surely you leave the impression in voters' minds that you condone all of this, that none of it really matters, when for many of us, it does. Now, under MMP, all sorts of relationships are formed, but they are tolerated because the system requires it. For example, if National end up working with New Zealand First, are the majority thrilled? Well, of course not. But it's a necessity for government, rightly or wrongly, that's MMP. The same way the Labour Party doing a deal with the Greens would be seen as a necessity. Labour could have spent the rest of the campaign distancing themselves, not endorsing the behaviour, not being connected to the meltdown, and in doing that, they would probably have got some vote back. But it would still be understood and accepted that Green help is required to form a government after September 23. The Greens aren't going to not help, are they? Labour's made two critical errors in this campaign so far. One was the memorandum of understanding in the first place, thus telling the world they no longer back themselves as an automatic majority party. And two, having been caught by the Touré scandal, not recognising the danger they face by association and taking the first chance to rip it all up, get back to their own programme and not get sucked into defending them. So far, this campaign is yet again a reminder that for whatever reason, you can't write this stuff. We all thought last time, .com, Nikki Hager and co, was as mad as it gets, but geez, this is giving it a good run for its money, don't you reckon?
Yes, I guess like any marriage, the marriage between Labour and Greens is probably, it has its unique challenges, you know, in sickness and in health. I guess they're looking forward to the health part. Now, we're going to keep it political just a little bit longer. Let's hear some of the valedictories from yesterday, some of the outgoing MPs.
I'll say goodbye even though I'm blue, even though I'm blue, even though I'm blue.
Last night in the big house, three MPs gave their valedictory speeches. Green MP Catherine Delahunty named inspiration in two quotes. She quoted Che Guevara, saying the life of a single human being is worth a million times more than all the property of the richest man on earth. She also quoted the Maori proverb translated as people perish, but the land remains.
These two statements are not contradictions. They are complementary truths. If this makes some of us green, red watermelons, how sweet is that? The watermelon is the most colourful, refreshing and delicious fruit imaginable.
That's incorrect. I believe the pomegranate or the raspberry to be better, but I do concede that
pomegranate
I am,
pretty tart.
They can be tart, but a crisp tartness.
Don't get me wrong, great in a cocktail.
I agree. A good Californian grapefruit is not to be underestimated either. And we haven't even got to the kumquat yet. But she makes a not unworthy point. New Zealand First Barbara Stewart had a very big call about her leader.
It has been a privilege and an honour to have worked with you and for you. I'm sure that history will portray you as one of the greatest political leaders in recent New Zealand history, which I know you definitely are.
That is worse than the watermelon comment. That is simply fake news. And thanks, she thanked the parliamentary staff, which was nice.
Some very important people in our lives are the chamber and the gallery team. It would be totally impossible for me to count the number of glasses of water that you have brought to me over the years. One can get amazingly thirsty in this chamber. Service with a smile and a kind word is appreciated. So thank you very much for your focus and dedication.
What was she saying with the gallery? The press gallery is supplying her with water.
Well, she certainly sounds like, you know, she's got that sort of husky voice. She probably goes through a few glasses.
She worked up a thirst. Our Labor Sue Moroney, by the way, reflected on her efforts to increase paid parental leave.
So off I went. David Seymour told me he was opposed to extra paid parental leave, but I asked him to listen to my proposed amendments anyway. And when I finished describing them to him, he said, well, why wouldn't I support that? And instead of falling off my chair, I looked straight back at him and I said, yeah, I thought you'd say that. And so because of MMP, families with babies born preterm can now get up to 13 weeks paid leave on top of the 18 weeks other families get.
Oh my God, that was boring. I tried to zhush it up with a bit of Exponents music in the background, but even then, Jordan Luck couldn't save them. I can't even remember what they said now, and it was only like 10 seconds ago. Let's go something more interesting. Fine art. And the portrait that went for a lot of cash.
We've got you covered with The Biz on the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ on Newstalk ZB.
Never-before-seen painting of the founding father of Auckland. This is a really interesting story. Sir John Logan Campbell, of course. This painting sold last night for just over $500,000. Auckland buyer paid $505,000. And it's the highest price ever paid for a Lewis John Steele painting. And a year ago, a McCann, of course, sold for $1.35 million, setting a new record as the most expensive piece of artwork sold at auction in this country. Interesting thing about the painting, when I saw the painting, and look it up, it's a magnificent painting. It's that classic thing. I said to my glorious wife, we should buy this painting. And we worked out we were just $504,900 short. So just a little bit under. But it's a beautiful, beautiful painting. He's sitting at a window, and it's looking over Auckland. It's got Rangitoto in the background. And it's that great debate. I mean, you look at a McCann, and to be perfectly honest with you, some of those McCanns, you think, geez, it's probably worth $1 million, but is that really a painting you want to stick in your hallway?
I don't know why you would pay that much now that you can get, you know, the new Samsung telly, the frame.
And you can just change the picture.
You just need a picture of the picture.
And you just flick it around and there's no difference.
And I think that telly will only set you back about $4,000.
That's a lot cheaper than $505,000, isn't it? But look up the painting. It's the classic thing. Do you buy a painting because it's an investment? Or do you spend that sort of money on a painting because it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of work? Have a look at the painting and tell me I'm wrong.
Was that just a shameless plug on my part to try and talk about Samsung's latest and greatest telly? Yes, basically. I thought it was quite clever, though. Quite seamless, quite subtle, until I drew attention to it now. I've gone and ruined it there. Let's quickly move on to password trouble.
Bill Burr, you've never heard of him? In 2003, wrote the Password Bible. This is the bloke who invented the guidance that we all use in computers. So in other words, you know, when you go to work in the morning and you tap in your computer and your security code and all that sort of stuff, he's the bloke who told companies how to do it and how to run it properly. So he wrote the Bible on password security, 2003. He was working for the US government and he advised, he's the bloke who said use some capital letters and some numbers and some non-alphabet symbols. This was in the belief it would be more difficult to guess. And he's now saying, and I quote, much of what I did, I now regret. The truth is, I was barking up the wrong tree. So his life's work, up in a puff of smoke. And nowhere is worse, let me tell you, than TVNZ. That place with its security codes and its issues, I get nothing done there because I'm permanently locked out. And they've got so many numbers and so many letters and so many dashes and so many rejections. And you tap it down. And what I do, because I go in there in the afternoon, I'm tired. So I go down, oh God, I've got to put in another security code. So I write it down on a piece of paper and they reject it. And it's got to be an acceptable
code. You have to type it in.
So I write it down on a piece of paper and I go, right, that's quite clever. I'm going to put this in. Pop it in and goes, I'm sorry, that's rejected. And they keep rejecting it. You think, why is it rejected? They don't give you any reason for the rejection. It's just rejected. So you've got to start again. So then once you type it in, you have to type it in a second time and then they reject it. So you're typing it in again, you pick up a new one, and you type that in a second time, and I'm tired, and what's capital, and what was small, and what's a number, and what's a dash, and is a zero, a naught, or a... And by the time you've done this 27 times, you want to kill someone, so you don't log in, you don't get any work done. And this guy is admitting now all of that is a phenomenal waste of time, because fundamentally, all people do is change it using about one letter. They go username one, and they change it to username two. Or, because they can't remember it, because it's so damn complex, they put it on a sticky note, and they stick it on their screen. And everything he did, wasted. He's retired now, and as you can hear, clearly unhappy.
This is why we all just need to be chipped.
Exactly.
Like that place in America where...
That workplace.
So we can buy a Moro bar with the chip in our hand.
Yeah, and you put your hand up to the screen and goes, boop, boop, and you're logged in. Simple as that. That is the future.
Yes, it's always tricky, isn't it? Remembering which ones have got the capital letters in, which ones you didn't have to do that for, which ones you had to put an exclamation mark on the end of... Please, just chip me. Just chip me. I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap for Wednesday. I'm going off to chip myself. I'll see you back here again tomorrow.